Well, good morning to all. Nice to be here on such a nice cool day inside. We pray, Lord, that as you know, I am not a preacher, and I'm not certainly not fit to be one, but I will share some thought with you that you might take home, analyze, and as our brother said here, the Bible has its own interpretation, and that's what we're going to try, or that's what we will do today. I would like you to open your Bible, first of all, to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16 and 17. Genesis chapter 2, 16 and 17. There we see God's teaching to Adam and Eve, two things. What are those two things? One is that you may eat of every tree. And the other one is, but not of this one. Is that correct? Right. Now in Genesis 3:3, Eve was confronted by the serpent, as we know is the devil, the dragon, Satan. And the dragon said to Eve, talk about this. And Eve said, well, yeah, God says this, but he also added that you will not even touch it. Now, I've got a question here now. There was an instruction by God who says, did God say? By the way, how many teachers here? Any teacher? You are a teacher? Yeah, home teacher. So when you teach something, when you give instruction to people, all right? You command, you direct, you assess, and you give instruction. So the question was, did God say? That means that the devil really implied that God could be a liar, correct? Did he say that? And then the Bible tells us that she can partake of this tree because this will make one wise in verse 6, as you can see there. All right? So don't forget this, the make one wise, because we will come to that later. So now even Eve placed the education of God, who says you shall not, to the education of the devil, who says you can. Do we agree with this? All right? When somebody teaches you something or tells you to do something and you do not do it, you listen to somebody else. So you don't listen to this instruction, but you listen to that instruction. So now we can see that we have, as it says here, two types of education. We have the true education and the false education. Now we're going to go through Daniel 2. Now in the dictionary, it says that education is a systematic development of training of the mind, acquisition of knowledge and skills, formal schooling in an institution of learning, a knowledge, skills, or cultivation acquired through instruction or study. That's what the dictionary says. The study of teachings, methods, and problems, the learning process and other matters related to the classrooms is called pedagogy, the science of profession of teaching, the theory to teach. Now we're going to see what God is trying to teach us there, just to see if we're going to take it. So let's bow our heads and pray, please, as we open the world. Gracious God in heaven, we thank thee very much for thy word, for thy word is truth. We pray for the Holy Spirit to be with all of us, Lord, that we will receive that truth, not from me, but from the Bible says, as we have heard, that the Bible is its own interpretation, and we will take it as it is. And we thank thee and pray thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Around 2004, 2005, I was having morning worship. I couldn't sleep. It was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I could not sleep. And I picked up the Bible, and I looked at Daniel 2. And suddenly I saw something in Daniel 2 that I have never heard of, I have never heard preached on. And I said, I woke up Daniel. She was still kind to me. She said, yeah, I'll wake up. And I said, have a look at this. And we had a good look at this Daniel 2. We all know Daniel 2. We all know this, you know, the four kingdoms and the stones, and we all know this. But this verse, nobody, actually two verses, had ever mentioned it to us. You probably have heard it, but I have never heard it. And wherever I went, nobody heard it. So we're going to see what God says there. So have a look at Daniel 2, verse 32 and 33. Daniel 2, 32, 33. We have the statue there. You know all the story. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream during the night. He could not interpret it, neither his magicians. And that's the dream. So in Daniel 2, 32, 33, we have the gold, the silver, the brass, the iron, and the clay. We have that? Everybody agrees with this? Right. Now, let's have a look at verse 35. In verse 35, it looks like it's the other way around. But the only thing is that the iron is first. Whereas if it was the other way around, the clay should be first, shouldn't it? But there now we have the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold. Correct? Now, let's have a look at verse 45. We have the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. Correct? Everybody agrees there? Right. Now, put your fingers there and look at Malachi 3:6. Malachi 3:6, the last book of the Old Testament, says, Malachi 3:6 says, last book of the Old Testament, I am the Lord, I change not. So I believe that whatever is in the Bible is the way God wanted it. Because as we know in Peter, he says that no scripture is by private interpretation, but was given by God through holy men. Okay? Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, which means the same, doesn't change, all right? And then Titus 1:2, which is a little bit later, it says there that God cannot lie. So I believe that whatever the order of those metals are, there must be a purpose, right? That's my simple mind. So we have a look at this, 32, 33, 35, 45, but have a look at this now. What do we see? We see the clay is moving, correct? The clay was last, then second, now it's third. In the middle, right in the middle. So we're going, it must be a purpose why God gave us this. So then my wife and I studied it. And we analyzed that study, that chapter. Now, in Daniel 2, 10, 11, and 37, 38, it tells us that Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. All right? And we see through 37, 38 that gold is Babylon, and we are told in 37, 38 that means power and kingship. So the gold... So Babylon, gold, power. The silver, Medo-Persia. Now, the Persians were known for one main thing. What was it? Remember in Esther and other places, the law in the Darius and the law cannot change. The law that the king signed, unchangeable. So we have that in Daniel 6, 8, 12, and 15. And in Esther, you know, in Esther, the law cannot change. And verse 8 of the chapter 8. So we have the power, we have unchangeable law. Now, Greece, what is Greece known for even today? Wisdom, yeah, full school of thoughts, education, you know, we all know this, all right? So you can check that in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 1, 20 to 23, and Bible Commentary 8, 442 to 444. So if you want to look at 1 Corinthians 1, 20 to 23, I don't want to go too fast because I want you to really not follow what I'm saying, but just to see if I'm not going astray. You know what I mean? So have a good look at 1 Corinthians 1, 20 and 23, which says, somebody can read this for me? That's right. That's right. Exactly. All right. Then after that, we have the iron. What is the iron represented by? Or what the iron represent? Rome. All right. We all know that. Rome. In Daniel 7, 7 and 8 and 23. And when you read this, it means force. Rome is a force. He destroys, he crunches, he kills. Pardon? War, that's right. So we have power. Try to follow me. We have power, a law that cannot change. Then we have education. And then we have force. What does the clay represent? It's written here. People, that's right. You can find that in the Bible. You know, I'm the potter, you are the clay. It's all over the place that the clay represents people. So, now we have Daniel 2, 32-33. We have the gold, Babylon power. Then we have silver, Medo-Persia, unchangeable law. Then we have education. Then we have force. And then we have people. So we have power, law, education, force, people. In verse 35, we have then the force is on top now. Force on the people, education, unchangeable law, and power. In verse 45, we have iron, which is Rome, still on the top. Then we have education. Then we have the people, then the law that doesn't change, and then power. To me, it looks like the people are being manipulated little by little. And there on verse 45, to me, it looks like Rome is enforcing education on the people by a law that cannot be changed, on the power, on power. Can you see that? Or am I just dreaming? No? Okay? Right. And you will see that later on, that what the Lord, I believe, gave us, it's applicable even today. I've got things here I could show you. I will show you. Right. So, Daniel 7, 17 to 19. Daniel 7, 17 to 19 says, these great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. I go shorter there. Then I will know the truth of the fourth beast, whose teeth were of iron. Now listen there. And his nails of brass. Now if we go back, Greece is the brass, right? Brass is education. Here we can see that this beast, and who is this beast, by the way, the fourth beast, who is that? Rome. Now we can see here Rome has teeth of iron, that's right, but also nails of brass. Could it be, that's Pierre speaking, could it be that if brass is education, I have never heard that the iron and the brass work together. Now nails of brass, we can see in further on that brass is, you can't break it really, you can melt it, but you know when I will show you later on that, we'll go later on. But, you know, iron and brass are connected in that verse. So if iron is Rome, force, connected with brass, Greece, education, I believe there's something there. Now, recapping, Genesis 2 and 3, there's two kinds of instruction, right? We have the true education, God said, and we have the counterfeit education, God didn't say that, did he? Right. Now, we'll have a look at Revelation 1, verse 14 and 15. Revelation 1, 14 and 15. Oh, hang on, what's that? I don't want to go faster. All right, what does it say there? We talk about Jesus there, and we see that his feet are of brass. It doesn't say brass, it says fine brass. Now, if brass is education and is at the feet of Jesus, we are standing on true education. That's for me. I'm standing on true education, right? So there is false education with Greece, and there is true education with Jesus who's standing on brass. So we have fine brass, true education. All right? So obviously, brass is also a very strong metal. Very strong metal. And the nails are not normal, obviously, because they are nails of brass. You know, the claws of birds of prey, you can't unlock them. Once they lock, an eagle or falcon, or they lock. That's right, but the nails you can really grab, because we can see that in Daniel 4, verse 33, if you want to check that out. So we have Genesis there, that's what we have here now, okay. Now we go to this one. I'll just go back first. Then we have the dream vision of Daniel 2, where we saw the metals changing. We see the clay changing through the metals, because the metals don't change. It's always gold, brass, silver, and iron, all right? But the clay is moving, is changing. So, we just saw that in the... I'm going to go and have a look. Have a good look we already said that. Sorry. I'm a bit mixed up. Now, does everybody follow my thinking? Can you see, understand my point? Did anybody at any time hear the message of Daniel 2 with the mentioning of verse 45? No. We just mentioned 2, 32, 33, 35, 45. It's all the same stuff. All the same stuff. 35, they say, oh, that's the reverse. But okay, even if it's the reverse and maybe there is a mistake with the clay, but on verse 45, the clay is way out. All right? So, now let's go to Revelation 1:14. Yeah, I just said that. We see Jesus, well, his feet are like the fine brass, meaning pure brass. I believe that there is a final answer. Jesus, our Redeemer and Commander, our Savior, is leading us in the right direction through true education. John 46, we know that verse. What's John 14, verse 6 says? Come on, Seventh-day Adventist. That's it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that says, abide in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked, right? So, God gave us the choice. True education, fine brass, or counterfeit education, brass. By force, iron, Rome, the enemy, Satan, imposes his counterfeit education, grace. Now, have a look at verse Romans 6, 16. Somebody reads for me. Romans 6, 16. Romans 6, 16. Who's got that? 6, 16. Romans 6, 16. That's right. All right. I think that verse for me is a very important verse, because we really have the choice. If you go this way, that's what happened. If you go that way, that's what happened. And that's why what we are learning now through Sabbath School with education, with the Proverbs, with the wisdom, I think that goes very well with what I'm presenting today, actually. Okay. We also see in Joshua 24:15. What is it? Joshua 24:15. That's right. We have to make a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So are we seeing today higher education? We hear that on the radio, on the newspaper, everywhere. It's all education and health reform. Education is all over the place. To divert the mind of the people away from the true education. We see that, I mean, with evolution and all that kind of things. Now, did the reformers and the pioneers understood the threat and significance of such a prophecy? We're going to really have a look at some things. Now, Papal Rome, Papal Rome is a continuation of the Greek Empire. We all know that. All right? There's no doubt about this. You know, as a country or an empire conquer another empire, that conquering power takes some of the conquered power with them. You know, like treasures or statues or habits or cultures, whatever it is. So, Papal Rome is a continuation of pagan Rome. We all know that. All right? Mr. Alex, you agree with this? Good. Mixed with clay, and we're going to see something else about the clay later on. Now, understanding what Papal Rome is made of, is it surprising that her education is based on the philosophy of Greece? You know? Rome, Greece, and we'll see a bit later on. So, false education will indeed play an important part in the Torah, and I will show you that later. But God's people will get their education by walking in the footsteps of the fine brass feet of Jesus. Was it necessary to see a reformation in the Christian world? Did it involve evolution? Yes. Is there a real battle between true and false education? There is, even in our church, unfortunately, in our academies. Now let's have a look at some pioneers or reformers like Luther, for instance, who are reopening the door to true education instead to believe what pagan and papal Rome were instructed. The reformers look at the Bible, the Word of God, and presented the true education of instead of philosophy. So now God used Luther and many others to restore true and undiluted information based on the Word of God. The battle between true education and false education is still being on today. We know that, all right? So let's not forget what the reformers achieved. Have a look at this. Luther, we all know about Luther, all right? Luther's distrust of philosophy began early, 1508 to 1508. Now he wrote, "Especially philosophy, which from the first I would willingly have changed for theology, I mean the theology which churches out the meat of the nut and the kernel of the grain and the marrow of the bones, but God is God." So Luther wanted more to have theology, really, than philosophy, as he was taught. Then he said, "Philosophy is entirely foolishness. Here I have the Bible on my side." Right? I think this is very wise. Luther did not denounce philosophers and schoolmen because they used reasons to establish theories and doctrines, but because they used it to establish false theories and false doctrines that contravene Holy Scriptures. Luther considered it his duty to cry out against philosophy and turn men to Holy Scriptures. Right? So those guys were, they had the Holy Spirit with them. They were crying out. They were saying, look, you know, this is wrong. Now let's have a look in Bible commentary to see if our, we say the same thing. Bible commentary book 8, 442 to 444. It was this culture, Greece, that became the ancestor of all Western culture. And it was molded for many centuries. This culture survived the political power of the Macedonian kingdom by centuries. and molded Roman civilization. So we said in the Roman civilization, Greece is there with its philosophy, school of thoughts, education, and so on. Athens continued to be recognized as the intellectual leaders of the Greek world. We all agree with this? Not too bad, right. Next one. That's Spirit of Prophecy, Education 13 and 14. Actually, if you really want to see what is true and false education, read that book. It's unbelievable what's in there. Now, true education means more than the pursual of a certain course of study. To be an architect or a lawyer, there's nothing wrong with this, but there's other things beside it. It is the harmonious development of the physical, the mental, and the spiritual powers. The source of such an education is brought to view in these words of Holy Writ, pointing to the Infinite One. In Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom. Our ideas of education take too narrow and too low a range. There is need of a broader scope, a higher aim. And that's what here I say. The source of such an education is brought to view in these words of Holy Writ, we are told in the Spirit of Prophecy. And she adds, in the story of the Sea of Patmos, the schools played a most important part in the growth of the Constitution and the educational system of the United States. Do we really what it says there? Do we understand what it says there? The schools, what do you have at schools? Education, right? Full school of thoughts. We are promoting full school of thoughts. The schools play the most important part in the growth of the Constitution and the educational system of the United States has been the real support of the nation. Gradually, however, the philosophy of Greece has in the education of children, and you're going to be stumped by what I'm going to see later on, and youth almost supplanted wholly the truth of God. Actually, if you have that book, The Story of Patmos, it's a great book. Now, Daniel saw the working of Greece literature and art, there molding the fourth kingdom and finally branding with the truth in such a manner to form the papacy. We're going to go a little bit deeper. It was Rome's purpose to exalt alluring Grecian culture and philosophy in the hope of leading the Jews into pagan art and thoughts. A teacher can really do two things. Really. Yeah, if you teach somebody, you teach it the right way, or you teach it the way you want them to learn, and that will influence the children or even the adults, right? In these last days, when all the evil is past and renewed and presented to man in all his varied forms, then it is that Greek philosophy and skepticism come forth in full force. The heart filled with truth is the only safeguard against error. Amen to this, right? Now, does Daniel 7:19 becomes a bit clearer? You know, with the brass, the nails, the all that kind of things. Ministry of Healing 395. True education is missionary training. Every son and daughter of God is called to be a missionary. We are called to the service of God and our fellow men, and to fit us for His service should be the object of our education. You know, Jesus came on this earth to educate people through education, to give people true education. He didn't say, oh, well, you know, you have the choice, you do what you like. You do. But this is a true education. Now, I think you have to put now your seat belts on, because it's going to be a little bit different. Who knows about the United Nations? Anybody heard about the United Nations? Right. Now listen, read this very carefully, and there is more quotes to come, not much, but within the United Nations is the germ and seed of the grand international Would that mean around the corner shop or anything like that? No, it's global, right? And meditating and reflecting group, a group of thinking and informed men and women in whose hands lives the destiny of humanity. All right? I think this is pretty powerful. It's a meditating, reflective, international, a group of thinking. They want to give their thinking to the holding. Now, the underlying philosophy, and that's, I've got the quotes here, World Care Curriculum Preface. You can put those quotes and have a look at them on the internet or whatever it is. That's not me, or even, that's not even the church. The underlying philosophy upon which the Robert Mueller School. Now, Robert Mueller, we're going to learn who Robert Mueller School, who Robert Mueller is based on, will be found in the teaching set forth in the books of Alice A. Bailey. Who heard of Alice A. Bailey? So you know what I'm talking about, right? The school is now certified. Now listen, this guy, Robert Mueller, teaching, his schools, are based on the books of Alice A. Bailey, and the school is now certified as a United Nations Associated School. I think you have to put your mind around all this. Providing education for international cooperation and peace. You do what I say, or else. This is a guy from the United Nations. Now, I believe that education will play a major role in these last days, because we'll have to follow either God or not. So I believe I have to be fully established now that if something happens, I will be able to confirm 1 Peter 3:15 that you can see later on. I have another topic on the 1 Peter 3:15. This is why we find the clay people between iron Rome, force, and the brass Greece, education, from Daniel 7:19. Okay, remember that? Now listen, here we are. Robert Mueller, former United Nations Assistant Secretary General, he's not just a guy who opened the doors and he's an usher, all right? Chairperson of Peace Party 2000. He has been called the philosopher. Is that Greece in your mind? Philosophy? And prophet of hope. Prophet of hope? That's God, type thing, you know, prophet of hope. Of the United Nations. Now listen, look at the bottom. Alice A. Bailey is the creator of the New Age movement of the Lucifer Trust. Now, to repeat this, when we see the United Nations, the guy who are making new schools of the education is basing his teaching on a Luciferian person to teach kids globally by Mr. Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller is a deeply spiritual person. Spiritual person? I mean, you see, you can check it out, all those quotes. He is the, so how can you be spiritual when you promote Satanist things? Pardon? Exactly, that's right. Exactly, wrong spirit. That's why we have, as Seventh-day Adventists, I think we have a duty to really stand whether the things crumble around us. Even as individual, not just with wife or kids. He is the author, now listen, he is the author of the World Core Curriculum to steer our children towards global citizenship. Earth-centered beliefs. Earth-centered beliefs? I thought we had to be biblical beliefs. Socialist values? And the collective mindset, which is becoming a requirement for the second century workforce. For the 21st century workforce. Robert Mueller is known throughout the world as the father of global education. That's a guy who takes his education, his teaching, from a New Age movement and a Luciferian. His curriculum earned him, now listen, the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization Peace Education Prize in 1989. He's a top guy. Now UNESCO. Julian Huxley is going to be a bit hot there. former director of UNESCO and 1962 humanist, see again, of the year, is a theistic philosopher. Theistic philosopher in UNESCO, in the United Education System, is a theistic. A member of the Communistic Global Colonial Bureau of the British Fabian Society. Who heard of the Fabian Society? That's right. And a signer of the Humanist Manifesto II. Who, you remember? Humanist Manifesto, where that come from? From the East over there. Karl Marx and all that kind of things. Now, Niebuhr, a UNESCO co-founder, even signed a CECUS. Now, it's written what CECUS is. Which appeared in the October 16, 1969 issue of the New York Times. New York Times magazine, they don't write any things that you can contradict. Now, look what CECUS means. Sexuality International Center of the United States. This guy, UNESCO co-founder, he signed the Sexuality International Center in the U.S., which appeared in October. Now, it is the position of that organization. Remember what it says? Sexuality International Education Center of the U.S. Now listen, have a good look at this. That contraceptive services should be available to all, including minors, who should enjoy the same rights of free and independent contraceptive care as do others. It is the position of that organization now that explicit sexual material, sometimes referred to as pornography, can serve a variety of important needs in the lives of countless individuals. Who wants to send your children to school today? You're going to be joking. We have a friend of ours, doctor, in Adelaide, actually. You come from South Australia? Adelaide? Maybe you know her. It's Rosemary Brown. Do you know her? She's a doctor, about 30. We went with her. We good friends. And she said, if I have a 13-year-old daughter, a girl, by herself coming to see me and ask me for contraceptive, I've got to give it to her or I lose my job. I can't even say, can you bring your parents? No. She said, no, I want it now. You have to give it to her, she said, otherwise I lose my job. So this is to confirm what I'm reading there. Because what I'm reading there, you can all check out. I can give you all the quotes. I've got them there. You can check it out on the internet. All right. Under Huxley's guidance, you know, Huxley is a co-founder of the United Nations. The United Nations prepare a guidebook for teachers. This guidebook reminds them that the destruction of a child's love of country and patriotism is the first step in educating that child for a world citizen. Forget the parents. Forget the parents. At school, you are going to learn this. On page 8, now listen this, have a good look at this. On page 8 of that book for teachers, which was done by the United Nations, the teacher is told, the kindergarten of infant should have a significant part to play in the child education. Not only can it correct the errors of home training, you know, those guys are telling you what you should teach your kids. But it can also prepare the child for membership at age 7, about, in a group of his own age and habits, the first of many such social education that he must achieve on his way to membership of the world society. Are we coming to a new world order type thing? I mean, I don't want to talk about new world order, but are we talking about globalism, about universality? I think we are. Now listen, it's not finished. On page 58 of that same guidebook, the teachers have to say, as we have pointed out, it is frequently the family that infects the child with extreme nationalism. You know, who is the parents here? Any parents here? You are really bad parents. You are infecting the child. That's terrible. The schools should therefore use the means described early to combat your attitudes. Who do you think you are? I'm a parent. A what? Right. Will education brass play a major role between the iron Rome and the clay people at the end of time? You make your own conclusion. I believe the clay, God put the clay there for a purpose. I talk to evangelists that teaches evangelists in America. I talk to evangelists in Australia. They have never seen that. Because we pass over. We have the statue, the stone comes, and that's it. Talking about the stone now, we're going to another point. Another unnoticed point of interest, we believe, has been missed. Have a look at Daniel 2, 41, 43, because I want you to really have a good look at what it says. Daniel 2, 41 to 43. Because I think there's a point that is missing there that nobody has seen. And I give the glory to God to have shown us this. Daniel 2, 41 to 43. Now listen. 41 to 43. And whereas you saw the feet of toes, part of iron, part of potter's clay, and part of iron. Stop there. What is a potter's clay? Is that bad clay or good clay? Good clay. That's right. There's a potter's clay, right? So that's, when we say, I'm the clay, you are the potter, God is fashioning us. And part of iron. The kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of the iron, for as much as you saw the iron mixed with what? Interesting. We all talk about the clay and iron in the toes, but nobody talks about two kinds of clay. There's a potter's clay and there's a miry clay. Now you have a good study on the miry clay in the Bible. Everything that's called miry is rotten. It's no good. It's bad. It's dirty. Right? Have you ever seen this? On that verse? No. We don't see the two clays. Now, listen. Because it explains, God is specifics. I love him. I can't wait to go to heaven because we're going to learn so more about him, so much more. Alright. And as the toes of the feet are part of iron, part of clay. Alright? So, I want you to listen to that last part. Part of iron, part of clay. It doesn't say part of iron, part of miry clay. Alright, it says here in verse 41, toes part of potter's clay and part of iron. The kingdom shall be divided, blah, 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 for as much as you saw the iron mixed with miry clay. So the kingdom is only divided because of the miry clay. The clay in Rome, actually the clay, I believe, is not in Rome. Only the one is in Rome is the miry clay. Now, if the clay is miry, which is dirty, that means that they are mixing. Alright, they are adopting some of the philosophy of Rome and some rejecting it. Now verse 42. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron, part of clay, doesn't say marry there, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Why will the kingdom be broken? It's because the Rome will not have subjection to some clay. And what's the clay represent? You're not listening, huh? People, that's right. So, the kingdom will be divided because it'll be broken, partly strong because Rome wants to win, but partly broken because he can't win those guys over there. Alright? Verse 43. And whereas you saw iron mixed with what? Miry clay. Then shall they mingle themselves with the seed of men. But, listen to this. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Doesn't talk about miry clay now. The only clay that mix with iron is miry clay. Right? Am I dreaming or is that the truth? Right? Nobody has ever mentioned that to me anyway. There's two kinds of clay in those three verses. There's a miry clay that is following the force, the iron, God through education from Greece. And there is the clay that doesn't fit with the iron. And I'm going to explain to you why. And you're going to see why. When the stones, we'll see at the beginning, when the stone comes and destroys all the kingdoms, everything is destroyed. The gold, the silver, the brass, the iron, and the clay, right? That means we are destroyed too? Everybody is destroyed? So something is wrong there somewhere. Where are we as people? We are different. We are not destroyed with the stone. On the contrary, we are given life. by the stone. You understand that? All right? Can you follow my thoughts a little bit? So, now here, Psalm 40, verse 2. I just quote one quote, but I've got a whole thing there to show about the Marie Claire, right? And he brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the Marie Claire. So you see, Marie Claire, horrible pit. Now what's in the pit? It's the devil, all right, in Revelation. And set my feet upon a rock and establish my going. That is, I believe, the two different kinds of clay. The one that is Marie, we're all Marie, but we want to be gods. So when we listen, then we are our feet set upon the rock. And you know all the story about the house built on the rock and the house built on the sand. Now to conclude, may I quote a spirit of prophecy to, I believe, confirm what the Lord has given my wife and I to study. Youth instructor, July 3, 1902. Now, before we do that, open your Bible to 2 Timothy 4, 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 4, 16 and 17. Nice, strong English voice. Not like mine. So here we see two attitudes. We see Paul and Nero face to face, right? The countenance of the monarch bearing the shameful record of the passions that rage within, and the countenance of the prisoner telling the story of a heart of peace with God and man. Oh, sorry, where did I go there? God and man. The result of opposite system of? That's right. So, I believe that what the Lord gave Daniel and I has a strength with education. And I hope that you go home and have a good look again and search, because there's hundreds of quotes that I could have given from the Bible, the Spirit of Prophecy. So, the result of opposite systems of education stood that day contrasted. A life unbounded self-indulgence and a life of anti-sacrifice. Here were the representative of two theories of life. Okay? Can you see that? We people are living in a time of the toes. Which clay do you want to be part of? The one that is destroyed by the stone, or the one that will stand for Jesus no matter what? And I was in the commandos, but I tell you what, sometimes pretty hard tough, but that's nothing compared to what we're going to get. Now, just to conclude, in September 30, 1909, the President of the United States, Barack Obama, said that because the youth violence is increasing, we need to take action and keep the youth off the street. Anybody agrees with this? Right. The solution? Now listen to the solution. To keep them longer at school, with less summer holidays, increase the school year with more days at school. Instead to say, look, what about if we put instructors with them, we teach them to behave, to give up smoking, drinking, fornicating, drugs. No. Take them, put them back to school, mate. In April 2010, the Iranian news, it was said that every child from 4 to 14 years old will have to go to school, rich or poor. So it's not just the Western world. In France, the children now have to be at school by the age of, who can guess? Who said that? You must be a teacher, no? By the age of 3, exactly. You know, age of 3, this is the age when we can fashion a child to learn languages, to learn music, you know. Okay. In January 2013, that's not long ago, right? So for the last 5 years, in Czech Republic, 1,000 homeschoolers cannot be homeschooled anymore but must go to school. Why are they forceful to go people to school? I mean, look at those kids. There's nothing wrong with them. I don't see a kid at school the age of that little girl there. She doesn't know how to play a piece of piano or something. Now, if you think this is only over there, I have here a little leaflet that was taken, a little article that was leaflet that was taken from the Courrier. That's a newspaper in Ballarat. Education should be run by the states, not by the teachers or whatever. The state will, Now, in June 2014, the treasurer said on the ABC radio, rich and poor can now go to uni even if they have no money to pay. And the last one, before last one. Municipal early year planning, your opportunity to comment, that's from the Pinay Shire, that's where we used to live when we had our lifestyle center. Pinay Shire Council is developing our 2013 to 2017 municipal early years plan. To guide the priorities and directions for services to children from 0 to 8. I mean, that's a little country stuff, you know, Pinay Shire. It might be big, but there's not many people in it. And their family across our municipality. The municipal early year plan is a local area plan designed to provide a strategic direction for the development and coordination of early years programs, activities, and other local community development processes that impacts our children. I could say more, there's more there, but it's time to go. So, I pray with all my heart that we are going to really establish ourselves on the rock Christ Jesus. There's so much that is pushing our side, whether it's diet, health, education, and so on. There's, voilà. Other thing. So, thank you very much. There's another one here that I'd like to say. And that's the last one I say. It's for the handicapped children. All right. The Australian government moves to sterilize electroshocks and restrain children without parental consent. You know about this? Yeah. Yeah, but that's here. That's in Australia. Australian government. Another draft mental, there's some pass, but they say here that whatever they decide that you have a problem, and we know one of our customers, they decided that she had a problem and she was even put in cages in the hospital. They decide what they should do to you, even if you, without the consent of the parents. So I pray that the Lord will really guide us. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please. Gracious God in heaven, thank you for that mercy and grace to teach us part of what you want us to know. There is so much more to know, Lord. Help our hearts to grow more and more in the yearning of wanting to Christ's character in us. We pray, Lord, that all the people here and myself, we will have the mind of Christ, as it says in Philippians 2:5, that we can really develop a character that will fit us for heaven. We pray. Thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.